The Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Talking about Game 4 between the Knicks and the Sixers with you at 1-800-919-3776. Also on X, formerly Twitter, at Hardesty ESPN, at ESPN NY, 98_7 FM. We'll turn our attention to the Jets in the NFL draft next hour. Rich Cimini will stop by at 6, and Don LeGrec at 7 o'clock will give us a preview of the Rangers trying to sweep away the Washington Capitals in a game that you'll hear right here on 98.7 ESPN. Pre-game show begins at 7:30 following us on 98.7. By the way, before I get back to the phones, I think I misspoke. When I said that Jalen Brunson's 47 points, it's his career high, not a Knick record for the playoffs. It's his career playoff high. So that's what Jalen Brunson was able to do. And it's just, what a difference. We'll get back to the calls in a second. What a difference between what Brunson was able to do today and what Brunson did in games one and two. And even game three, there was a difference. And so that's why we tell you that every game is like its own series and every adjustment you make. And so what happened as the Sixers tried to adjust because Josh Hart was beating them from the three and other people were beating them with threes because they were taking the ball out of Brunson's hands. Now they tried to shift a little bit and not help as much, and Brunson's caught fire. So I think they'll go back to what they were able to do in the first couple of games and try to keep the ball away from Brunson. And that's what they will do in game five. And now the question for the Knicks is going to be, can Deuce McBride continue to play as well as he has? And remember, I said at the start of these playoffs, is he going to be able to continue to be as productive as he has been since really the All-Star game, since the trade deadline? Will he be that productive? And he's been. He's run the offense well. He's hit key threes. He's hit key buckets. He's been as good as he's been defensively. He's played well. And he's earned the minutes that he's gotten. And he has produced. So hats off to what Deuce McBride's been able to do. It is going to be interesting to see whether Mitchell Robinson is going to be available on Tuesday night, although there was some conversation he might be done for the series. Don't know. And Bogdanović, who played maybe 2 seconds, 3 seconds, and he was out with a left ankle contusion or something of that nature. So we'll see if he's going to be available for game five. And once again, and we said this, not only was the OG Anunoby trade excellent, but what Precious Achiuwa has been able to bring during the regular season and what he did today, even though not a lot of points, but defensively, standing his ground, a couple of block shots, rebounding, which is what he does. I mean, this Knick team was able to get contributions from the bench, maybe not just scoring, but defense as well. And that was the difference today. Yes, Jalen Brunson was able to score, but it was the depth of the Knick bench that was the difference in this game. 1-800-919-3776. John's in L.A. John, you are next on 98.7.
Larry, name me a dirtier player than Joel Embiid. That's a trick question, actually. This guy, I can't watch this guy. Everything he does is dirty. Any chance he gets, he falls on other people. He stepped on Josh Hart and then rolled over and held his ankle like he hurt himself. I really hope the Knicks, never trade for this guy. I can't watch him. It's just annoying to watch this guy play. Second point I wanted to make was OG and his teammate, former Toronto teammate,
Precious
played real well together. Yeah, Precious. So they played real well together, I thought. And it's a different look for Joel because on the big guys, he just gets the ball and runs into them and takes up a shot. And OG is an excellent defender. He didn't let him do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Finally, glad to see John Starks in that front row. Mm-hmm. You know, John Starks gets a bad everyone remembers 3-for-18, but that guy was our heart. He was the best. He got us to the finals, and I'm glad that the Knicks are embracing him. So that's all I got to say.
All right, John. Thanks for the phone call. Joel Embiid is a tremendous player. What he's able to do with his size, range, hits free throws, great from three. But some of these antics that have come up in this series and some of the other things, puts a question on it, takes away from his game. It just does. It just does. It takes away. So, you know, he is a tremendous talent. The big issue with him, can't stay healthy. Can't stay healthy. And it was interesting to hear his conversation about, you know, well, I'm sorry, Mitchell Robinson. He didn't name Mitchell Robinson, so I'm paraphrasing. But I'm sorry he got hurt, but I'm just trying to protect myself, and I get hurt, and I got hurt in the play against Miami, and that's how I got the knee injury. And so, you know, it's you know, the forearm with you know, the forearm coming off the pick set by Oubre just rocked you know, Jalen Brunson. I mean, to be honest, that's 90s basketball. That's the way basketball was played in the 90s. That's what they did. Physical, challenge the picks, knocked you down, did whatever you had to do to win games. That's the way it was then. This is a different NBA. And unfortunately for him, I mean, stepping on the ankle, pulling down Robinson, it's not a good look for Embiid. It takes away from an enormous talent that he has. Enormous talent. 1-800-919-3776. Lee, you're next on 98.7.
Brother Larry, how are you?
I'm doing great, Lee. How are you?
Listen, a couple of points, man. Let me just make your show go a little bit easier for you.
All right.
You being a Met fan like me, we pulled that game out in the 11th inning, first
of
all.
Oh, I was concerned, Lee. I'm going to be swept by St. Louis. I was not happy, Lee. So I'm glad we pulled it out.
I had two radios working, but a point you hit on at the beginning of the show. The Knicks are a number two seed. So, you know, by whatever means necessary, and, you know, our motto is, at least mine is, we find a way.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to be in the second round, which mm-hmm. I am totally agreed with you on, because no matter where they finish, if you're one or two or three, see, you're expected, okay, to advance to the second round. Great win, important win. But I have one issue with Coach Tibbs.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know where I'm going, so I'll just make it quick and simple. There's no reason why, because you are down a man or two, that you have to put in a player like Precious Achiuwa when you had no Mitchell Robinson in January. You had no Julius Robinson, okay?
Julius Randle.
And mm-hmm. you had to play. You had to play Hartenstein and Precious Achiuwa. And they logged some heavy minutes. There's no reason why that young man, and thank God he stays prepared the way he does when his name is called. We don't know what Robinson's status is going to be come Tuesday. We don't know what Bogdanovich's status is going to be on Tuesday. But you may have to stretch your bench a little bit further, which includes Jericho Sims.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tibbs, come on now. We need everybody, and I literally mean bodies. Okay? What you think about that? Always a pleasure, my friend.
All right, Lee, always good hearing from you. Yeah, he's got to stretch the bench. But once again, it's matchups with him and a lot of different things. If indeed you see a scenario where Hartenstein and Achiuwa would get into foul trouble, I think maybe you would see Jericho Sims, but I think he would do, Lee, what you saw today. He would switch OG Anunoby onto Embiid and try to go small. I think that's what he would do. And part of the reason is because Josh Hart does such a great job on the boards that he can still play small and continue and have another ball handler in to put pressure on the opposing defense. Because, you know, Josh Hart loves to push the ball, and when he gets it on the rebound, and push it and go. So I think that's the other reason why he's not playing Sims. And I just think he's, you know, for right now, he doesn't feel he needs him. He's just ready to go with the crew that he's got. But I'm sure Sims is ready to go. And like you said, you never know. You have to be. This is the postseason. There's unlikely people that are coming in. Okay? Unlikely. And so everybody's got to be ready. You're 1,000% right. 1-800-919-3776. When we return, we'll take more of your phone calls. But first, the second annual DiPietro and Rothenberg pregame party is coming up Thursday, May 2nd. Yeah, this Thursday. Come out and see the live broadcast starting at 6 a.m. from Publicans in Manhasset. That's just steps away from the Manhasset station on the LIRR, where after the show, the crew will take the train to Citi Field for the matinee game against the Cubs. Now, if you're headed to the game, look for the pregame party in Lot E. That's along Roosevelt Avenue near the 7 Line. It's all brought to you by our friends at Montauk Brewing Company. Celebrate the no-frills good life with Montauk Brewing Company, makers of New York's favorite craft beer, Wave Chaser IPA, a highly approachable brew that is packed tropical hops and delivers endless flavor. Chase your wave. And by Xing Zhang, America's favorite Bloody Mary brand. Now it's even easier to enjoy a Bloody Mary with their pre-mixed cocktails available in convenient cans and party-sized bottles. Just open, pour, and enjoy. Remember, always Xing Zhang responsibly. Your calls are next on 98.7 ESPN.
The Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN.
I'll say this before we get back to the phones. And I was chatting with my good friend, who is just a great basketball mind. You look at this team, if Bogdanovich can't go, that bench is going to get shorter, my friends. It's going to get shorter. I mean, they'll have to go with DiVincenzo, and they'll have to go with Deuce McBride. Alec Burks is not getting off that bench. I just don't see it. He's not getting off that bench. Unless it's a rare situation, Lee, Jericho Sims not getting off that bench. You saw the folks that's how deep that bench is going to go. No Bogdanovich, no Mitchell Robinson. Those are the folks that you saw to close out this game today. Those are the folks that will be on the floor Tuesday night as the Knicks will try to close out Philadelphia, get some rest before they move on, and try to get some of these guys back. And once again, not sure what Bogdanovich's availability is going to be. But, you know, this has been one of the things that jump out at you about this Knicks team. And yeah, you know, Jalen Brunson gets the highlights and the headlines, and rightfully so. He's the guy that's been doing heavy lifting. But it's been other folks, right? It's been a team effort. It's been the sum of its parts. It's been OG Anunoby getting you some key rebounds and playing solid defense and now giving you some points. It's been Josh Hart playing now. To see him play 46, 47, 48 minutes, you expect it. You don't expect him coming out of the game. You just don't. That's his role. He's going to play the whole game. That's what he does. Hartenstein, what he's been able to do. This team, to get where they are, being the second seed, with the injuries that they had suffered, it's been a team effort. It really has. And the fact that they've been able to contribute, either scoring or defensively or rebounding or whatever, that's what has gotten them where they are. And today there was no better example of that than today. 1-800-919-3776. Frank is in the Bronx. What's up, Frank?
Larry, thank you for taking my call. And you said what was on my mind. Like, what a team. How much fun is it to watch this game, this team play? And I'm going to be in the Garden Tuesday. I am so stoked for that. Now, do we know that Mitchell Robinson isn't available? Because my take is in line with a previous caller. Like, even if he is able to come in, I love this team with Precious in there. I think his footwork defensive and his liveliness around the boards, I like him. I would love Mitchell to be filling in around him. But that's my take.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I was going to say is, you referenced 90s basketball. You're so right. And a previous caller talked about John Starks being the heart and soul. Well, he was heart and soul in the 90s Knicks, but Bernard King, man, he was the heart and soul of the Knicks as far as in my head for as long as I will remember.
Yeah.
And I think one of the greatest New York Knicks personnel mismanagement moves is when they let that man go when they picked up Patrick Ewing. Man,
yeah.
I think you could probably recall we would have won a championship, if not two, with him with the Knicks before his career ended with the Wizards. It was just, anyway, I love the team and I'm really excited.
I hear you, Frank. Thanks for the phone call. You know, it was sad to see because they just at that time, the knee injury that Bernard King had, it was devastating. You didn't think that he would be able to come back from that. And he came back, went to Washington, and played well for a couple of years. He was still good. And it's unfortunate that he and Ewing could not play together longer. Otherwise, you're right, there might have been a little difference in hardware in this town. Because Bernard King was just a fabulous and intense. And great, and you know what? Underrated defensively. Fabulous scorer, underrated defensively, Bernard King. No, it is not official that Mitchell Robinson is done for the series. You know, he'll be questionable. And they'll wait and see. There was some reports that he was done, but nothing official from the Knicks. And it's not going to be from the Knicks. The Knicks will, you know, leave him questionable. He'll warm up on Tuesday, as he did today. And they'll see how he is. If he can go, he'll go. You know, you have as much depth as you need. The more people you have, the better you are. Manny's in Flushing. What's up, Manny?
Hey, Larry, how you doing?
Great.
Good, man. I know you were excited today, but, man, I know that Joel Embiid was like, ticked off about the fans, but he should be mad at the Sixers, not the fans, because last time I checked, y'all had three games in which y'all had double figures, and you still couldn't get it done against a depleted Knicks team with a guard who is basically probably one of the most underrated point guards that you've ever seen. And then, you know, you got Chua at Hart. And, you know, they play like over minutes. And look, when you give credit for OG Anunoby, whoever thought that when the trade went through, people thought, oh, man, it was a Knicks game. But guess what? He defended the league's MVP. And he couldn't score a basket.
Yeah, you're right, Manny. Thanks for the phone call. Listen, OG, that's what he does. That's why he was so coveted by the Knicks. And we've talked about it. When we talked about it, they needed a 3-and-D guy, a wing who could play defense and score and hit threes and go to the basket. For me, he's one of the consummate 3-and-D guys. And, yeah, it's funny how Toronto has really tore that team up. Look what he's done here. Okay, and what he's been able to do with this Knicks team. He's changed them because of his defense, and he has size, but he can still defend 1 through 5. And yes, not to take anything away from OG, but, I mean, Embiid, 44 minutes on one leg, he can't do anything. He wore down. There's no question. He wore down. And he's gotten off to these quick starts, but he's failed late. And so, you know, Nick Nurse has got to have a decision. Now, of course, in game 5, you want your best players on the floor as much as possible because you got to win that game. That's for him and the Sixers. Every game now is a game 7. Every game is a game 7. But he's going to have to maneuver some ways in the games where he can rest Embiid so that Embiid is giving him has something fresh in the fourth quarter because he's just worn down. And I get why he has to bring him in so many minutes because the Knicks go wide when Embiid's not on the floor. At one point, they were a -8, Sixers were, when Embiid was off the floor. So not only don't they score, but defensively they take a hit. So, you know, he's got to have him on the floor. He just has to. Richard's in Manhattan. What's up, Richard?
Larry, I enjoyed this game so much, and what I'm going to say is heresy, but it's true. Even if the Knicks lost, man, I got my money's worth, man. This brought me back to Knicks Celtics in the 70s, Knicks Bullets in the 60s. This was old-school blood and guts basketball. Now, Precious to me was the MVP of this game. This kid, he didn't play the first two games, coach's decision. You got to play the kid. The kid is always going to be battling the hustle play. This guy was Phil Jackson on the 73 championship team. And Anunoby was Dave DeBuscia. And I'm telling you, if Jalen Brunson is not the MVP of this basketball league, there is no MVP. Without this guy, the Knicks would be 0-0. He is unbelievable. Larry, I enjoyed this game so much, boy. This is the basketball we grew up with. This was every possession meant something. Yep. You can feel it. It was just blood and guts basketball. So these guys' heart, he was tremendous. Couldn't shoot, but he was tremendous. We missed some foul shots at the end, even Brunson. Yeah. And Philly played a good game. I got to give it to Thibodeau. He made the adjustments. He brought in guys that, you know, you got to hand it to Thibodeau. He made the adjustments on Embiid. Held Embiid to what, 30? That's fine. Yeah. And he was great with the getting players in and out. Bogdanovich got hurt. He knew what to do. DiVincenzo didn't have it. He knew what to do. And I'm telling you, this Precious, I always like him. He was fighting every – did you see the fourth quarter? They wouldn't let Philly get the rebound. Where have you seen an NBA game where the defensive team couldn't get a rebound? And the Knicks are short. They got guys like Hart at 6'4". Or Joe is what, 6'8"? And Anunoby 6'6"? These are short guys. And they are fighting like animals. This is basketball. This is schoolyard playground basketball. Hot and good. Not throwing up three-pointers, video games. This was all... Larry, I'm telling you the truth. Even if the Knicks lost the game, from a selfish point of view, I enjoyed myself so much because it brought me back 50, 60 years ago to the way basketball was played. So I just wanted to say, and the game, I had it on radio, I was watching on TV, but I got to listen to ESPN because they give me the heart and blood, guts, boy, O'Keefe and
Monica McNutt,
Larry, they are so great. They feel it like I do. So how can I listen to these bland broadcasts? I got to listen to the people that bleed like I do. Larry, always a pleasure. Thank
all
you.
All right, Richard. Thank you. Wow, Richard really enjoyed that game. He was involved. He was totally involved in that game. It was a good one. It was a close one. Back and forth, back and forth. Just when you thought the Knicks might have it, Philly would find a way to get a score or something, a defensive play, a turnover or something like that. It was rough. But the Knicks find a way to win. 1-800-919-3776. We'll take more calls. Yeah, we'll hear what you have to say about the game next on 98.7 ESPN.
The Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Omar's in Brooklyn. Omar, you are next on 98.7.
How are you, Larry?
I'm doing good, Omar. What's up?
Congratulations to the Knicks fan. Let me tell you, I summed up this game. Josh Hart blocking, Batum on the block shot, and Batum fell down, and the ball went out of bounds on the sideways. That's all the energy that the Knicks fan that was sitting in Philadelphia. Kudos to the Knicks fan to show up. And that energy, and after that, in that fourth quarter, the Knicks were not the same. Offensive rebound, ball possession, 14 seconds extra, another shot, another offensive rebound. Effort, passion, everything. Josh Hart, Brunson, the superstar, the national anthem. And they have the guts, ABC. Let me tell you straightforward. They did not even wait for Jalen Brunson interview. Every time they wait for a superstar to be interviewed, and the lady was there, and they switched it to the Clippers game. Shame on them. How much they want to elaborate that he's a superstar or not? He has arrived. The Knicks has arrived. They can copy it. The Philadelphia is the national team. Embiid is a punk, and everybody has seen in the national TV that how much punk he is. He tried to elbow it, tried to throw it down. The whole series, everybody has seen it. Knicks play hard. Knicks play physical. Knicks are a physical team. Mentally and physically, the most strongest team in the Eastern Conference. I said it. I was worried. I told in the regular season when they played Denver without Anunoby, without Julius Randle, and without anybody, and that's a two-point game, and everybody says that Denver is the favorite. I said they are going to stay when Anunoby come back. Julius Randle didn't come back, but Anunoby come back. He can guard the 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1, and that showed in this game today. Knicks are ready mentally, physically for every team. Let's go for that run, and kudos to the Knicks fan to show up in Philadelphia. Show up in Madison Square Garden and block the 7th Avenue on Tuesday. It will be over on Tuesday, honey.
All right, Omar, thanks for the phone call. You go on X, and there is a tweet showing the Knicks fans leaving Wells Fargo in the lobby, and it's a pretty large group, and they were just jumping up and down celebrating. The Knicks fans traveling. I mean, you heard what Joel Embiid said. He's disappointed with the Sixer fans. That the Knicks fans just got tickets and they came down in mass and supported their team. I mean, you heard more MVP chants for Brunson in Wells Fargo than you did for Embiid because of the Knicks fans who traveled. Michael's in Manhattan. What's up, Mike?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. How good is Jalen Brunson? How good has this guy been? He is first team All-NBA, All-Universe. Indomitable. He figures things out. They slowed him down. He comes back, and he models what an NBA star should be. All of his qualities and fire and spirit. I don't want to hear it. He's first team All-NBA. And it's no longer about the other team. Worried about this guy on the Sixers, Jason Tatum on the Celtics. The Knicks have overcome. What a mentality. Tom Thibodeau instilling the mentality, next man up. They got seven guys. If they had Julius Randle, they'd run through these teams. They're undermanned. Stop with the doubting. It's these guys are just incredible to watch. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, Michael. Thanks for the phone call. They have played very well. There's no question about it. Now, listen. Anybody can get hot in the short series. So you're not worried, but you give other teams respect because you know what it takes to get here. You know what it takes to be on these teams. You know what it takes to make a deep run and to win playoff games. Winning playoff games are not easy. It's different. I mean, there was a I forgot what broadcast I was listening to, but there was a commentator talking about how Steph Curry said that feeling in a playoff game is like two regular season games in the same game. That's the pressure of the playoffs. So listen, Knicks have played very well. There's no question about it. They're defensively, that's been their hallmark. And from, you know, I like what they did. They made some adjustments with when they doubled Embiid and who they were able to cover the passing lanes with. And so once again, that caused him to be limited in where he could go, and they got some turnovers off that. So look, defensively, they've played well. Not great, because I think they've made some fouls that you shouldn't make. And of course, you look at the free throws and you're like, you know what? If you make your free throws, you make this a little bit easier. But once again, you know, we talk about Julius Randle. You're right, he would be this. But they have played without him so long that they understand what it takes. He's not here. He's not walking through that door. He's not coming. So this is the crew we got, and this is what we're doing with the crew we got. Jose's in Brooklyn. What's up, Jose?
Good afternoon, Larry. Shout out to the company. And I'm happy, and I know you're happy, because this is – It was fantastic. They like Monica McNutt was saying on the broadcast, it was a game of runs, and it was going to be who can put most runs together. And, you know, seeing the Sixers keep finding ways to, you know, extend the lead, but the Knicks, you know, kept with it. They didn't get frustrated. They stuck with the game, the flow of the game, and they were still able to take the game late and win. And I'm kind of happy because this is, you know, they've shown that they can now get the stranglehold lead. Now they got to hopefully on game five, you know, the injuries are a question, but hopefully, you know, they can close out the team because we all know even if this team is to be considered anywhere near a championship contender team, you got to kind of close out these series early. You don't want to play with your food and, you know, and put yourself at worse odds, you know, in the second round, kind of like, you know, that Melo team did with the Celtics heading into the Pacers series. So we'll see how that works, and I'm hoping we can win. And by the way, Richard from Manhattan said, like, Jalen Brunson is a superstar, and I'm glad that we're watching this, you know, unfold. And just like how last year all the Knicks fans were hanging on the rim when everyone said we should have traded for Donovan Mitchell, and we ended up beating the Cavs with Donovan Mitchell on it. Oh, you better believe we're going to be hanging on the rim on this TNT crew that just kept saying every single team, whether it was Bancaro, whether it was Halliburton, whether it was all these superstars that they loved and they picked, you know, we were always going to be outmatched because we didn't have the best player on the court. I think after these, especially these last two games with Brunson responding, and remember, it wasn't that he had a bad game. He just wasn't efficient. Mm-hmm. Now he's efficient. What can we say now? This kid is an MVP. He's an MVP-type player. He is a superstar, and I'm glad that the Knicks finally have a superstar that, like others said, can match up with the Jason Tatums, can match up with the other guys, because it ain't like these other guys haven't had disappointing playoff series from before. And what Brunson keeps showing you is he's a difference maker when the playoff time is on. So hopefully we can continue this. Thank you for your time, Larry, and have a great one. Hope you have a good weekend.
All right, Jose, thank you very much. Weekend's looking pretty good. Mets win today. Knicks win today. You know, weekend's looking pretty good. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Carl in Queens. What's up, Carl?
Oh, yes, Larry. What a beautiful Sunday. listen, the last caller kind of stole my thunder, but listen, he deserves the praise, so I'm going to give it to him. I thought this was the Jalen Brunson game this series, Larry. I'm not going to lie. I was a little bit close to getting nervous about him the first two games. I mean, he was bad to his standards. And in the third game, like the previous caller said, he just wasn't efficient, even with the 39, right? But today, he put us on his back because he's a superstar, man. He got us a dub. But I really wanted to give a shout-out again to the traveling and supporting fans in Philly. We took that building over in a playoff series, Larry. And now let's just go close out this game five, take care of business, and just two things for you, Larry. We talked about the bench before. So now the bench has not showed up the last two games. So now coming back home, let's show up and let's close it out. And actually, I lied, three things. But Hartenstein, Larry, can we just tell Hartenstein to keep his hands down? Embiid's going to get his points. Just keep your hands down, man. We need you in the game. I love Achiuwa, but we need you in the game. And Tibbs put OG on Embiid in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was huge. He locked him down, So, yeah, huge win. And let's go, Rangers. Thank you, Larry.
All right. You got it, my friend. Listen, you're right about Hartenstein. I'm sure we'll look at the video. They'll remind him what he has to do when he defends Embiid. I'm sure that'll be the case. The bench today, you know, Bogdanovich played like they have him listed as a minute because you can't put seconds in there. He was in there for like 3 seconds and got hurt. So, listen, McBride was good off the bench, and Achiuwa didn't score off the bench, but, I mean, he gave you 7 rebounds, 4 off the offensive glass, solid defense at 4 blocks. You know, he didn't hurt you. So, yeah, I get it. But once again, depending on whether Bogdanovich is going to be available or not, you know, DiVincenzo's got to, you know, got to get hot again. Maybe coming back home will be just the thing he needs to get going. 1-800-919-3776. More of your calls next on 98.7 ESPN.
Did you see the fourth quarter? They wouldn't let Philly get the rebound.
Speaking of the Rangers, Don LaGreca will join us at 7, give us a preview of what we can expect in Game 4, and Rich Cimini will join us at the top of the hour. We'll turn our attention for a couple of minutes to the NFL draft and what the Jets did and some of the moves they made. But right now, we continue to talk about the Knicks-Sixers game. Peter's in Huntington. What's up, Peter?
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
All right. My question is, I mean, look, I love a tenacious team. I love a gutty, gritty team. I'm talking about the physicality of this series. It's been pretty unbelievable. And I'm just curious if I'm the only one that thinks Embiid plays like a thug. And I wonder if there's been another series in which, you know, you have so many players getting taken out one by one, game after game, by the opposing team. Does it seem a little over the top to you guys?
Thanks for the phone call, Peter. It's been Joel Embiid has personally taken out two guys. You know, the play, really, the Mitchell Robinson play is the one that really jumps out at me. Now, I don't know what was going on with him and Josh Hart. He stepped on his ankle today. I don't know whether he just misstepped or what the situation was, but unfortunately, now you're looking at Embiid differently, right? Because you get the two reviews for flagrant fouls in the first couple of minutes of game three. You get the Mitchell Robinson pull down, then you get the stepping on the ankle. You get which is kind of it's not a dirty play, the elbow to Brunson. It's a physical basketball kind of play that you do. That's not a dirty play. It's just an aggressive play defensively. And once again, it's a throwback to what the basketball that was played in the 90s, where physicality was allowed. Playoffs, you knock people down, knock them down the lane, all that stuff. That was then. This is now. And the NBA frowns upon that. And so, first of all, Peter, no, you're not the first one to talk about it. Embiid has been, well chronicled about now some of the things that he's done. Unfortunately, in this series. And, you know, it's going to be a footnote to him. But, you know, the one thing that the Knicks have been able to do is persevere. So we'll see what happens in game five. But the one thing I will say about him is, even on one leg, and today he was not the player, played a lot of minutes, wore down in the fourth quarter. When he is on his game, he is a tremendous player. You can see why he was the MVP last year. Ability to block shots, ability to rebound, ability to score, hit threes, be in the painted area, pass the ball well. He can give you everything. The frustrating thing with him, if you're a Sixers fan, is his availability. He's always injured. And not just a little time miss. He misses chunks of time. And so that's the thing that drives you crazy. Now, I don't know whether that's his way of answering back the physicality that is coming to him. But, you know, the Mitchell Robinson one and the stepping on Josh Hart's ankle today, not good. Jones and Brentwood, what's up, Joe?
How you doing, fellas?
We're doing great, Joe. What's up?
Appreciate the call. So now, first of all, it's a beautiful game, you know, on both ends. They both put in a great effort. You know, and I loved, that was beautiful. Hearing the New York fans in Philly, that was beautiful. You know, I've been a New York fan since the 90s. And let me say about Embiid. You talking about Embiid. Listen, as a big man, he should understand they don't recover the way they do. So that could have been career-ending to Mitchell. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that could have been really serious. And they treated it very lightly. And if he's going to be that type of physical player, don't flop the way you do. You know, he's a big flopper. So, like, if you're going to be physical like he was in the 90s, then play through your game. You know, muscle through your game. You know, that big – listen, I'm a New York fan, but he should have definitely took that mid-range shot. And if he didn't at the end, he should have at least dunked it. And he tried to lay it up. And that was a horrible choice. You know, and having that type of IQ – and let me say this, too, about the Knicks. They are a humbled team, the whole team. There's not one person on that team that's not humbled as a player. And they're not an underdog right now. So that's a beautiful thing. So we're taking game five, and then we're going on to the next round. Now, who we see in the next round and what we do now, we have to continue that momentum. And that's the beauty of this game. And that's what I love watching the Knicks since the 90s, since I was a kid.
I hear you, Joe. Thanks for the phone call. It's an interesting team in the sense of they play well together. They seem to get along together. And they match each other's weaknesses, right? You've got guys who may not rebound well and guys who rebound well. You got guys who don't shoot well and guys who do shoot well. You got, you know, they seem to balance out. And all the one thing they all do well together, though, is their defensive intensity. And that is the identity of this Knicks team. And I think that's the one thing that you love about them. You go back and you know, Joe was talking about the fun days of the 90s. You go back and you look at those teams, and during that era, it was that aggressiveness. It was that harsh rebounding. It was the diving for loose balls. It was the, you know, in-your-face type defense. That's what endeared that team to the fans. And to be honest, that team overachieved because there were other more talented teams than they were. But they were able to play that game and get extra points and get extra possessions. And so that's what you respect about this Knicks team. The team that crashes the boards, the team that gives you more than one shot. I mean, there was a couple of times in the fourth quarter, the Knicks got 3 and 4 offensive rebounds. All right, to get second chances. You know, and I don't know whether Philly, some guys were leaking out, trying to get on the fast break or what other stuff was going on. But, you know, you got to grab the rebounds. And, you know, they did a better job, Philly did, in game three rebounding-wise. And that was part of the reason, aside from Embiid being phenomenal with 50 points and all the free throws he had. That was part of the reason why that game was so close. Today, the Knicks out-rebounded Philly 52-42, and I rebounded them 15-9 off the offensive board, which led to a bunch of second and third chance points. Bunch. And you look at that fourth quarter, okay, both teams played, that's why it was so close, it was back and forth. The Knicks won the quarter 2016. Both teams were going back and forth. It was a very competitive, very exciting game, playoff game. It was. It had ebbs and flows. And one of the callers mentioned, quoting Monica McNutt here on 98.7. She's right. It was a game of runs. And you knew it was going to be. And game five will be the same thing. The question is, will the Knicks be able to continue to be successful with the runs they have when Embiid is out of the lineup? Because I don't know that Embiid's going to be out of the lineup much on Tuesday night. Because you got to win that game. You have to. And he played 44 minutes today. I mean, look at Ananobi had 47. Brunson with 44. Hart with 46. What, Hart didn't play the whole game? I think they took him out when he got his fourth foul for a couple of minutes. So, you know, those were the situations that you had from a time limit. Embiid had 44. Maxey had 43. Oubre had 40. And the Sixers only got 6 points from their bench. And, you know, McBride doubled that with 13 alone. And once again, no Bogdanovich because he was hurt. And Achiuwa only gave you 1 point, but once again, 0-5 from the field. But defensively, 7 rebounds, 4 off the offensive boards, and 4 blocks. So, you know, he didn't score, but he was an impact. And you needed him to be that way because of the fact that Hartenstein was in foul trouble. And kudos to OG Anunoby, who stepped up, played the fourth quarter, defended Joel Embiid. Knicks did some things, you know, double teaming and some other things there. So it was fascinating. It will be interesting to see what will change and who will be the star on Tuesday night when the game returns to Madison Square Garden for a game 5 that you can hear right here on 98.7 ESPN.